Yeah? No? Yes? A few undecided people this morning. Wasn't it great to get up for work again last Tuesday? A friend of mine who knows me pretty well sent me an email during the week with a few kind of sayings that people might say have said in this past week. I thought I'd try them out on you, see if any of you have said some of these things this week. It was so hard getting up this morning. Did you find that last Tuesday when you had to get up? So hard getting up this morning. I tell you a secret, in our house, we all slept it in on Tuesday, which wasn't great in terms of school and getting a good start for the day. What about this one? Looking in the fridge? There's something growing in my fridge. Is your fridge a bit like ours after Christmas? So some things get left behind, don't they? And then you suddenly see that there's something green growing on something which you thought you would like to eat before Christmas. I should have booked this week off. I wonder how many of us thought that this past week. Gosh, wouldn't it be much easier if we just had another week off and just sort of put it all off for another week? Yeah, a few people said that. How long has that mince pie been there? We had a mince pie episode in our house this Christmas because our various children went out at one stage because we said we've got enough mince pies for Christmas. You know what happened? They all came home with mince pies, and we've got about 60 mince pies still at home to get through between now and goodness knows when. I've got about a million emails waiting for me. Chris, does that feel like that? And, yeah, Tuesday morning? No? No? Any emails? No? Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? A few people want your job, I think, if that's the case. I can't wait for summer to arrive, eh? Won't be great when the leaves start coming out on the trees again. Well, New Year's arrived, isn't it? Whether we want it to come or not, a new start, a new year. And Phil's going to come and lead us in a prayer as we pray together as a church as we head into a new year together. So let's close our eyes as we pray, and Phil's going to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Phil.
Let's pray. A verse from Lamentations to begin with. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Dear God, thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives during this past year. The good along with the hard things, which have reminded us how much we need you and rely on your presence filling us every single day. And now we pray for your Spirit to lead us each step of this new year. We ask that you'll guide our decisions, turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needing to be opened, close the ones that need to be shut tight. We ask for your wisdom, for your strength and your power to be constantly present within us. We pray that you'd make us strong and courageous for the road ahead. Give us ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us here at Crofton, so that you would be honoured in our lives and others would be drawn to you. At the beginning of this new year, we confess again our need for you. Fresh, new, again. And we ask that you make all things new in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives for this coming year. And we pray for your continued refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us as a church and as individuals. And help to keep us focused on what is pure, what is right. And give us the power to be obedient to your word. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Anyone brave enough to tell me what their New Year's resolution is? Or are we a church of no New Year's resolutions? Did you make any? No. None on this side. Any on this side? That's really good, actually, because I've got a New Year's resolution for all of us as a church this morning. I was kind of hoping you might say, no, we haven't got one. Our New Year's resolution has to do with this book. What's this called? The Bible. And we're going to think about the Bible this morning. We're going to think about how God speaks to us through this book. You see, lots of us have these books. In fact, it's reckoned that about 6 billion of these books have been printed and are in circulation today. And lots of us have got these books, haven't we? We've got them at home. Some of us have got them on our phones. Some of us have got them on our tablets. The question is, do we take them for granted? How often do we read them? Has your Bible got a bit of dust on it like that that says, read me? Now, I was looking this week at some people who go to great lengths to hear this book being read. Lots of countries in our world don't have this book. It's very dangerous for them to have it in their house or in their hand. It's dangerous for them to read it. I was reading of someone who walks hours every week just to hear this book being read. I was hearing of people who are imprisoned because they have one of these books. And here's a little clip from an organization called Open Doors, who are involved in distributing this remarkable book to people who cannot get it and who cannot read it for themselves because it's just too dangerous. Let's have a little look at it.
This is the book. This is the book God used to bring me to the faith. We in Open Doors are totally dedicated to getting the word of God into the country, in their language, and then let God speak.
China, an exciting country, the biggest nation in the world, that the quest came for Bibles, and we brought them in by the thousands, tens of thousands. Then they said, give us 1 million. We just did it in obedience to God's commission. It was so big and bold, that endeavor. We did it in one night, but we did it in Jesus' name.
An important reminder to us, because sometimes we take this book for granted. We can get them so easily, we can have them on our phones, we can have them on our apps, and it really is the most remarkable book. Did you know that this book was written over a period of 1,600 years, that it has 66 different books in it, that was written by 40 different people, and here's the most remarkable thing, it has one story that goes from the beginning right the way through to the end. It is a unique book. And I thought we'd sort of check ourselves out this morning and see how much we know about this book. So you always enjoy a bit of a competition here, don't you? No? Well, you're going to have a competition whether you like it or not, okay? So here's the first one, okay? This is team one, okay? Is this quotation in the Bible or is it not, okay? It's a yes or no answer, okay? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yes or no? Yes. Oh, well done. Okay, team two, okay, here we are. God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? You sure? Some people are, it's not in the Bible, okay? Okay, here we go. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible? Are you sure? You see, when I say, are you sure, you kind of, it's not in the Bible. You're absolutely right. What about this one? You must not steal. Is that in the Bible? Sure? Yes? Absolutely right. Well done. Okay, back onto this team. There is a time for everything. Yes. Definitely? Yes. Yes. Gosh, you guys know your Bible. Really good. Okay, what about this one? Everyone is equal under the sun. Is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. Okay. Bit easier this one, isn't it? I think if you know the stories of Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Is that in the Bible? Yes. Very good. Okay, what have we got next? Oh, yes, I like this one. For what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Is that in your Bible? Some of you aren't too sure about that, are you? Because if you're like me, you grew up with that, probably day in and day out very often. It's not in the Bible, okay? Well done. Money is the root of all evil. Here's a good one, isn't it? Is that in the Bible? What does it say? The love of money. You guys know your Bible, don't you? Pretty good this morning. Okay, what about this one? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Is that in your Bible? It's in yours, Diane, is it? Well, Diane's kind of got a blend of Shakespeare in the Bible, I think, if that's the case. Okay, what about this one here? Don't judge others or you will be judged. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. You're absolutely right. And this one, do all you can to live a peaceful life. Margaret, you're right. That's in the Bible. Do all you can to live a peaceful life. Oh, well, I like this one. Look, he who would valiant be against all disaster. Is that in the Bible? But you're thinking, I've sung that somewhere, aren't you? A song by John Bunyan that lots of you sang probably in school, perhaps many years ago. Not in the Bible. And what about this one? Do not be fooled. Do not be fooled. You cannot cheat God. Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. Okay. So, you see, this book that we're looking at this morning, there are lots of people in our world today who think they know what's in the Bible. But as the followers of Jesus, it's really important that we know what's written in this amazing book. And two of our children are going to come and lead us in prayers of thanksgiving for this amazing book this morning. So Emma and Joseph are going to come and lead us in a prayer to say thank you for the Bible. I'm going to come down here with my microphone here. We're going to do it down the front here, okay? Are you going to go first? Fantastic, okay.
Dear God, thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you that it is full of great stories to tell us about you. I especially enjoy the stories about Joseph, Isaac and Noah. I pray that people learn about how holy you are as they read the Bible. Amen.
Amen. What's so special about those names?
Because they're in our family.
They're in your family. That's absolutely right. Okay, Emma, thank you.
Dear God, thank you for the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. Thank you for the stories in the Old Testament, for Noah and his obedience, for Ruth and her faithfulness, and the lessons that Jonah taught us. Thank you that the New Testament tells us all about Jesus, his miracles, his teaching, and his example to us. Thank you that there are children's Bibles and youth Bibles to help toddlers, children, and young people understand what you want to teach us and how to follow you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, please be seated. Thinking this morning about this amazing book. It is unique. There is no other book like this book. Written over 1600 years, 66 different books, 40 different authors, one story from beginning to end. I wonder that if someone asked you what that story was, could you answer the question, do you know what the story is that runs from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible? Well, while you're thinking about that question, let me tell you a story. It's a story about a party. Hands up if you like parties. Like parties? What do you like about parties? Not sure. What do you like about parties? Bit of food? Yeah, adults, you can join into this one as well, you know. I think adults like parties as well, don't we? Yeah, bit of food, something to drink, maybe a few presents. This is a very special party, this one that's on the screen this morning. This is an amazing party, lots of presents, lots of food. I wonder who this party is for. Well, let's have a look at the next picture, shall we, and see if we can answer that question. This party is for Class 4B. Their teacher is Miss Thomas, and it's the end of term, and Miss Thomas wants to do something really special for her class because she loves these children so much. The best class that she's ever had. And she wants to put on a really good party at the end of term because she loves these children and she wants these children to know that she loves them really, really much. Really much. Really much? Lots. Lots. Yeah, she loves them. Yeah. So here they are. They're having their class photograph taken and they're all looking very well behaved, aren't they? They've all got nice smiles on their faces. And suddenly, as the photograph comes to an end, somebody puts their head round the door and says to Miss Thomas, there's an urgent phone call that you've got to take. So Miss Thomas says to her children in her class, she says what I'm sure teachers have said to lots of you, children who are here this morning, I want you to be really, really good while I go out of the room. Yeah? Teachers say that to you sometimes? I tread a very narrow line on Sundays sometimes because we've got teachers here and children, okay? What do you think happened when the teacher went out of the room? What? Chaos? Or do you think they just behave themselves like little angels? Chaos is right. Here's the next part of the story. As soon as her back was turned, look what went on. Goodness me, somebody thought they'd throw a paper aeroplane to see they get a bit of a laugh from some of their classmates. Some were decided to throw a bit of ink over somebody else. There's two boys decided to have a piggyback race right the way through the middle of the classroom, and it all became a bit chaotic. Now, how do you think Miss Thomas felt about that? Think she was happy? Not too happy, was she? What did she say to her class before she went out? Be good. That's right. Be good until I come back. But they weren't good, were they? They started to misbehave, and poor Miss Thomas came back, and this is what she saw. And suddenly, when she walked back into the room, you know what happens when a teacher walks back into the room? Everybody freezes, don't they? And that's exactly what happened in this case. They all stopped. In fact, somebody was so upset because there was so much noise going in the classroom that they started to cry. Because it was such a horrible noise going on in the classroom that day. Now, do you think these children should go to Miss Thomas's party? Why not? Why not? Because they weren't behaving. So these children are thinking, what about the party that we've just been promised? What do you think these children need to say to Miss Thomas in order to go to the party? Sorry. Who said that? Well done. Sorry. It's a really important word, isn't it, actually? Especially when we really get things wrong. Here's a picture of another party that's taking place. This is a different kind of party. This is God's party. And there's a lovely welcome sign outside, isn't there? There's lots of people already in there having a fantastic time. And when you go into the Bible and you read about God's big story, you find that when Jesus came, he often talked about having parties. He said, when you come to know God for yourself, it's a bit like having a party. People start to celebrate. In fact, he said, actually, the angels celebrate in heaven when people come to faith in Jesus Christ. So this party is for everybody. There's a lovely welcome sign outside. And if you want to go to God's party, well, here's an invitation. You are invited to God's party. Because in the same way that Miss Thomas loved all of her children and wanted to give them this fantastic, perfect party, God loves us in the same way and wants us to enjoy his amazing party with God. Now, I wonder what we need to do in order to go to God's party. Let's see if we can work out what we might need to do to fill in this invitation. You see, there's a bit of a problem. You remember when the children went out of the room and they started to misbehave and suddenly they realized they mightn't be able to go to the party. Well, here's a picture of our world. It looks pretty messy, doesn't it? What have we done to our world? Take a look at that photograph. What do you think we've done to our world? What have we done? We've messed it up. You are getting all the answers right this morning, aren't you? You're really on the ball. How have we messed it up? What have we done? We've messed it up for a long, long time. For 2 years. And probably a few more years as well, actually. But we've really messed up God's beautiful world, haven't we? We've polluted it. We've been greedy. We've taken more out of it than we can actually put into it. And actually, it's a real old mess. But you know, it's not just the big things that kind of mess the world up. It's actually some of the smaller things that we do as well. Because God doesn't sort of rank the wrong things that we do and say, well, that's just a little thing and that's a big, big thing. The Bible talks about sins when we do things that are wrong. Now, Chris, I'm going to need your help here for a minute. I know this isn't rehearsed at all, but we're just going to go for it this morning. I want to see if you can sort of think, not you, Chris, because I just want to I just want you to stand there, really, actually, a few minutes. But I wonder, can you think about some of the things that we do wrong? Shout a few things out. Come on, you're not all perfect people, I know that. What are some of the things we do wrong?
We get angry, okay?
So that often comes out of our mouth, actually, doesn't it? So we get angry, okay? What else do we do wrong? Yes? We hit people, okay? That's the hand, isn't it? So, yeah, what else do we do wrong? Punch people. Goodness me, I'm not going to be your friend, right? Okay? What else might we do wrong? Yes? Hurts people's feelings. That comes out of people's mouths as well, doesn't it, really? So that's sort of up there as well, I think, yeah? What else? What else? We tell lies. We get things wrong sometimes, okay? So we get things... That's going to have to sort of stay there, really, I think. And sometimes we think things that are wrong as well, don't we? Yeah? Sort of just about going to stay there, isn't it? And God says it's the things that are in our hearts that are often messing us up as well. So really, you know, really we get all sorts of things wrong and we start to end up a little bit like this, really, don't we? We sort of end up a bit messy sometimes we go to places that we shouldn't go to as well. So that's the sort of feet, isn't it? And the legs and stuff. What else might we do wrong?
Stealing.
Pardon?
Stealing.
Oh, that's the hands as well then, I think, if that's the case. So there's a bit of stealing. Now let me ask you, okay, do you think that Chris could go to God's party dressed like that?
No.
Why not?
Because he's all messy.
He's all messy, that's absolutely right. And that's what God says to us, that we can't go to God's party because we're all messy, because God is holy and pure and we are all messed up. So poor old Chris can't go to God's party dressed like that, can he?
No.
No, he can't. You're absolutely right. So here's the best part of God's story, okay? The best part of God's story is that he sent Jesus to die for the wrong things that you and I have done. So all those things that we're calling out, the cross is a bit like a rubbish bin. And Jesus died so that all these wrong and messy and horrible things that we do wrong end up in his rubbish bin. Jesus pays the price for the things that we deserve. And when we come to Jesus and we say sorry for the things that we've done wrong, he cleans us up. And that means that we can go to God's party. Isn't that amazing news? Well, there's a bit more here, a bit more sin on the floor here we need to pick up, don't we? But it all goes into the bin. Chris, thanks very much. I'll let you sit down for a minute. That's what God's story is all about. It's about the great news that Jesus came into our world to clean us up and to do something that we could never do for ourselves. So if we want to become God's friends, we need to come to Jesus and we need to say sorry for the things that we've done wrong. And then we're able to go to God's party, which begins in the here and now and goes on forever and ever. Because the Bible says Jesus didn't stay dead. He was raised again 3 days later. And that one day he's going to return and make everything new. Isn't that great news? Wow, that will be fantastic when that day happens. So here's God's big story. Here it is in a slightly different form. It helps us to make sense of our world, doesn't it? God made a perfect world for us. We messed it up. God sent Jesus to clean us up. And one day Jesus is going to return and make everything new. What an amazing story. But we will not understand that story if we're not reading our Bibles, will we? Martin's going to come and lead us in a prayer. You're going to say thank you to God, Martin, for this amazing story. So let's close our eyes for a minute, shall we? As we say thank you to God for this great story that we've been thinking about this morning.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that the very youngest here have parents, grandparents and other grown-ups who can read to them and for the pictures that help us understand. We thank you that we have a Bible in English and Bible study notes so that we can understand and use our minds to understand more of what you want to say to us in 2017. We thank you that there are audio Bibles for those who struggle with reading. And we thank you, Lord, for the big picture of the Bible, for your great love for us, how you've rescued us by sending Jesus to save us from the power of death and sin. Whether we really struggle with reading the Bible, or have read it every day for decades and got really fresh insights every day, we pray that through looking at the big story, you will give us individually fresh insights and collectively a hunger to dig deeper into the Bible. And as the Bible teaches us that you're a God of the whole world, we pray for the Sunblats in Liberia, most of the Catamals that head back to Rwanda, and for John Ross Preston as he heads out to Zimbabwe this week. Whether we're here in Orpington or elsewhere this week, we pray that we will really know you close to us, and we'll learn more about what you want for us in terms of what we read in our Bibles this week. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin. Brilliant. Well, this morning we're thinking, aren't we, about this amazing book that we call the Bible. It is a book unlike any other book that has ever been written. Written over 1,600 years, 66 different books, 40 different authors, one storyline that runs all the way from the beginning all the way to the end. This isn't just any old book. This book says to us that it is God-breathed. That means that God spoke his word And when we read the Bible, we're reading the words that God wants us to hear. This is an amazing book. I really want us to get a bit more excited about the Bible this morning. A bit more excited as we go into the new year together about God's amazing book. Now, so far we've looked a little bit about God's big story. God has spoken to us in the past, and he has told us a story that helps us to make sense of our world. He made it perfect. We've messed it up. He sent Jesus to put things back together again, and one day Christ will return and make everything new. That is God's big story. But there's something else that's even more exciting about this amazing book. Not only is it a story which God has told us, it is a way that God speaks to us in the here and now. That's really important, because if we are not reading our Bibles, we will miss out on some of the things that God wants to say to us. Let me illustrate that for you. Some of the things that I've been reading this week in the Bible are things that God really needed to say to me. There were some things that I really needed to hear this week, starting back into a new year. Here's some of the things that God's been saying to me this week. Here's a verse that I've been reading. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I needed to be told that again this week. Sometimes it's good to be reminded that God is at work in our lives. Here's something else that I read this week. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a fantastic truth to be reminded of again at the beginning of a new year. What does that mean? Well, as I worked my way through some Bible passages this morning, God said to me, I want you to remember that you are adopted into my family. You're one of my children. I want you to remember that you are deeply, deeply loved by me. I want you to remember that you are welcomed into my family. I needed to hear that this week. But you see, if I hadn't been reading my Bible this week, I would have missed out on those things that God wanted to say to me. And my week would have been a lot more difficult. There are lots of things in the Bible that God wants to say to us. I want to try and just whet your appetite this morning a little bit. Because you see, when we need guidance, this is what God says to us when we open the Bible. Let's read it out loud together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When we are afraid, we can turn to the Bible and we can read this. Let's read it. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name and you are mine. When we need forgiveness, we can open God's word and we can read some amazing things that he says to us about confessing our sins. Let's read it out loud. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, if I keep my Bible closed, what am I going to do with my sins? God says to me, confess your sins and I will forgive you and I will purify you. Here's something else. When we are in danger of leaving God out of our lives, that can happen very easily, actually. We can sort of just go our own way. But if we're reading our Bibles, we might read something like this. Let's read it out loud together. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How do you become a follower of Jesus? Well, if you open the Bible, you get the answer to that question. Here's what God says to us in the Bible. Let's read it. Yet to all who received him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's how I come to faith in Jesus. I listen to what the Bible says to me, and I put it into practice. Here's something else. When we need to be reassured that we belong, do you remember that feeling sometimes? Oh, am I really a follower of Jesus? God's word reassures us. And if we're not reading the Bible, we'll miss out on something like this. Let's read it. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That reminds me that I belong to God, because God's Spirit lives in me. When we need God to check out our lives, sometimes we want to keep the Bible closed because we don't want God to sort of prod and poke into our lives too much, do we? But if we're reading God's Word, we'll read something like this. Let's read it out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. That's how you should pray. Allow me to have a look at your life. And that's what happens when we read the Bible. When we have moved away from God, what might God say to us? Let's read it out loud. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. What a wonderful promise. When we've wandered away from God and we're reading God's word and we open it and God says, I want you to come near to me. And when you come near to me, I'll come near to you. Wow. But you see, the point is that we would only get these great truths out of the Bible if we are reading our Bibles on a regular basis. My friends, we live in a society that is moving further and further away from the Bible. Here's a very short interview on a street in London about what people are saying about the Bible.
Have I ever read the Bible?
No.
I haven't read the Bible. For my own reasons, no.
I've skimmed it.
I have read the Bible. I kind of looked at little segments, but I've never actually attempted to read the whole thing. It's not advertised enough, but I didn't go to church, so the time when I do read it is when I'm in church, but other than that, like, I don't have a copy of the Bible. But, yeah.
They're interesting stories, like as a guide for people how to live, not necessarily taken literally.
I thought it was daunting.
It's just been a long time, so I don't really remember everything.
Story of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, Adam and Eve.
Like stories about Jesus and his life.
Up there. Of course, there's Genesis.
I don't know the difference between sort of like the different books and stuff. But I do know Genesis is the first one. Or is that an argument? I don't know.
There's someone on our streets saying, I think Genesis might be the first book of the Bible. Is it a book or is it an argument? We live in a society where people are not reading the Bible in the way that we used to. It gets even more challenging than that, and that's part of the reason why we're doing this service this morning, actually. I was reading some stuff before Christmas, and here's some of the things that I read. 60% of Christians in the UK admitted that they had not read any part of the Bible by themselves or from choice for over 1 year. I find that really challenging, actually. And here's something else that I discovered. 35% of Christians in this country read their Bible on a daily basis. That would suggest that in a group like this that there might be as many as 100 of us who are not getting into our Bible on a regular basis. So what are we going to do? Well, God's really challenged me about this. As I prayed about this before Christmas, as I read some of these statistics, as I thought about the country in which we live, I said, God, what do you want us to do as a church? This is what I believe God has said to us. He wants us to do this E100 challenge. Are you up for a challenge? Oh. Are you up for a challenge?
Yes.
Are you up for a New Year's resolution?
Yes.
Are you up for getting into the Bible? Wow. Well, let's do something about it, shall we? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to read 100 passages in the Bible between now and the end of May. Think we can manage that? 50 passages from the Old Testament, 50 passages from the New Testament, 5 readings a week. And together we are going to read the Bible from the youngest to the oldest, right the way across our age groups, and we're going to hear God's big story as we read it together. Every Sunday we're going to come back and we're going to think together about what we've learnt during the previous week. Our children over the age of 7 and our teens and our adults are all going to do this together. So we're going to read the Bible together as a church family. We're going to do it in our home groups. We're going to do it in other small groups. We're going to do it in the evening. We're going to do it in the daytime. And here's how we're going to do it. This morning we have for you to take away this book called Essential 100. You'll find you might want to look at this morning. I'll lay them out a little bit later on. We've got Bibles for toddlers and we've got Bibles for younger children. So this is an opportunity for us to get into the Bible together as a church as we head into the new year. On our website, you'll find a special page dedicated to the E100 challenge. You can download it as an app if you don't want to take a book, and you can do it on your phone, or you can do it on your tablet. And we are going to start this tomorrow morning, first passage, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then next Sunday we're going to come back, and we're going to talk together about what we've learned together as we take a big picture view of the Bible. So here's our New Year's challenge. We're going to read the Bible together for all its worth. This wonderful book, a book like no other, written over 1,600 years, 66 books, 40 different authors, one storyline, God's big story, a God who continues to speak to us today. You up for the challenge? Excellent. Morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us in history. We thank you for your story, which helps us to make sense of the world in which we live today. But thank you that you continue to speak to us today as we open and read your word. Help us to make this New Year's resolution together this Sunday morning. Help us to journey together as a church, as we read your word, as we talk about it together, as we talk about it in home groups and small groups, as we talk about it in our families. Speak to us, we pray. Help us to hear your voice in our lives as we head into this new year together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing one song as we conclude, and if our children have a prayer you'd like us to finish with, thanking God for the Bible, then bring that up as we sing our final song. God's big story ends with God making everything new. That's where this story is heading towards, to God's new creation. So we're going to sing a great song about that as we conclude together this morning. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones will one day come. So a couple of prayers from our children we're going to finish with this morning. If you'd like to do this as part of a group, reading the Bible, not on your own, but as part of a group, we're going to set up some new groups over these coming weeks. Maybe you're saying, I'd do that with some other people. Then just leave your name with those who are giving out the books this morning, and we'll make sure that you are part of a group. Thank you very much. Part of a group, so that we can do this together. There are lots of groups, different times of the day, some in the daytime, some in the evening. But if you want to do that with somebody else, we'll make sure that that's the case. Prayer tonight, 6:30 p.m., context of communion and worship. Prayer at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Prayer at lunchtime tomorrow. Do please make all you can to get to one of those sessions. Let's use some of these prayers that our children have brought us to conclude our service. Dear God, thank you for our church. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying on the cross to save us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your true word, the Bible, and how you teach us with it. Thank you for loving us and guiding us in life with the Holy Bible. Thank you for purifying us from our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for the Bible so that we can read and learn more about you. Well, that's what it's all about. Amen.